Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Welcome to Locally Grown with Lincoln. We're very excited today. We have a really cool, I think one of the coolest people in Southern Indiana, if not the entire Louisville market, Teresa Jackson, who works for Rauch Incorporated, based out of New Albany. Teresa just got home from a really amazing, awesome once-in-a-lifetime trip, and she's going to talk to us about the trip and where she went and how she got there and why she went and just all of the great experiences that she's taken away from it. So let's jump right in. Hello, Teresa.
Hey, Lincoln.
Welcome to Locally Grown.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're excited that you're here. Tell us a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, what you do on a daily basis.
Sure. I am the Director of Development at Rauch Incorporated. We're a not-for-profit that works with children and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities primarily. In that role, I do our marketing, public relations, special events, and fundraising. And Rauch's located in New Albany. I've lived in New Albany my whole life, and so it's really meaningful to me to be able to make a difference in the community where I live.
And I will tell you, Rauch does some amazing things. We just finished a video project with them, and I knew, because I've been your auctioneer for your Imagine Awards in the past, I've known what Rauch does, but I really didn't really know. You know,
yeah.
I mean, when we spent all that time making those videos, we got to the down and dirty of what Rauch does. And it's a place full of angels. It really is. I mean, the services that you provide. And, you know, a lot of times with an organization, it's either the client and the people that provide the services. You all, it's everybody from top down, from Betty as your CEO all the way down to everybody that lives in your supported living and takes it really is a big family, isn't it?
Thank you. Yeah, I think so. I think we have a great time and we've got a lot of great hearts there for sure.
And you have challenges. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what you all do is a challenging mission, but you handle it with just such good, positive, optimistic, proactive, from that type of approach.
There's a lot of great people.
You do. We're lucky to have you all in our community. So
thank you.
You're welcome. We know what you do. Tell us a little bit about this awesome trip. How did you find out about it? Where'd you go? Give us a lowdown on what you did.
Well, you said something about Betty earlier, our CEO. She actually is a really long time Rotarian and had previously, I'm not sure, probably 10 or so years ago, led a group that went to New Zealand. So she was really familiar with the program. So when the opportunity came up, she brought it to my attention. And so I participated in a selection process where we, you know, spent a weekend together with the people who were interested in going on the trip, learning about what the trip would be, but also, you know, having people get to know us and our personalities and our motivations for wanting to participate. And then they selected who would go to Australia.
How many of you went?
There were four total. That included our leader, who was a Rotarian.
Okay. And what's the official name of the program or the trip?
It's a Rotary Group Study Exchange.
Okay. And how long were you going to have to be gone?
It was about 4.5 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
That's a big thing, too, with people having to be away from their job for that long. So, you know, that obviously impacts who's able to participate and move forward on the trip, too.
And with being gone for that long, you were gone during the annual Imagine Awards, and you were quite missed. But I was there. They worked hard. They didn't miss a beat. They did a great job.
Very grateful for all their work.
So you went through the selection process, and you got chosen. How was your husband and you talk about you going to have to be gone for this long? How did all that work out?
Well, of course, I did check in with him on that and ask
good thing
if that would be okay with him. And we've been married for over 10 years. So he was like, you can't not do it. So, I mean,
what a great response.
So he's like, I don't see how you have a choice. You have to do that. So, yeah. I appreciated that. And I'm not sure if he would let me do it again.
Yeah. It's a long time to be gone.
Yeah.
So you got selected. You did some promo stuff for it, mm-hmm. started a blog post, started mm-hmm. talking about what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And then it came. I remember this was right when we were doing our video project with you, and you were signing off an approving video the day you left, mm-hmm. almost. You know, mm-hmm. you worked up until the day you left, right?
I worked on the day I left.
Yeah. And then when did it hit you that it was time to go? You know, when
they showed
it set
up
in?
To pick me up to take me to the airport.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, well, here we go.
Yeah.
And headed to the airport. And tell us about the experience of flight, because we always hear flying to Australia is a trip in itself. What was that like?
Yeah, it wasn't really as bad as I thought it would be. Of course, I've been to Europe a couple of times, so I've been on some long flights. And I would say that, it was from Los Angeles to Melbourne, it was about 16 hours, and it was pretty good for being 16 hours.
Really?
The Australian airline, Qantas, they were really great. Obviously they do that all the time, so, coming around with the water all the time so you don't get dehydrated, and managing the light in the cabin, making sure that, we kind of get adjusted in terms of what time we should be on and that sort of thing. And of course, it was important to try to sleep because we got there at 10 o'clock in the morning and you need to stay up if you don't want to get jet lagged. So, going through all of that. But, really, it's a pretty comfortable plane. We were on one of those big double-decker Boeing Airbuses.
Really?
Which when I saw that, I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's stuff you only see in the movies.
Right. I know. So
not many
cool.
of those fly out of Louisville, Kentucky on a regular basis.
I guess none do, but I could be wrong.
Maybe the Clark County Airport. Maybe in southern Indiana we get once a year.
Sure, Lincoln.
The seats. How big were the seats? I'm a big guy, so I always think about, what's the seat size?
I wouldn't say they were really all that much bigger or more spacious than the other planes that you mm-hmm. fly on. They probably were a little bit, but...
Anybody get super cranky on the flight? Or did you just kind of stick to yourself?
It was pretty chill. And, I was really amazed by the families that were on there. I mean, to have small children on a flight for 16 hours, and of course I'm like, please don't put them near me, which makes me sound like a terrible person. But, they really were really good. I mean, I did not hear kids screaming and crying. I mean, they were incredibly good for being on a plane for 16 hours.
That's cool.
I was impressed by that.
So you landed in Melbourne, mm-hmm. right? And you literally hit the ground running, right?
We really did. My first day, we all went with our host families at that point. So we all kind of said our goodbyes for the day. We'll see you later to the other members of our group. And so my host family, they took me, they knew I liked art, and they took me to a modern art museum that had been actually someone's home who was really involved with the arts and had made this into a museum. And then we rested a little bit in the afternoon, and then we went to this huge celebration downtown in the city with about 500,000 people there.
Oh, my gosh.
Called the White Night, which apparently started in, I think it was in Moscow in Russia. And now they have this in several cities around the world where they have all sorts of activities and arts things going on, dance and music and visual arts. And they lit up the really cool part of, kind of the main theme was they lit up the buildings downtown in a really colorful, creative way where they mm-hmm. look completely different than they normally do. So,
oh, that's cool.
It was really interesting. But, yeah, they kept me up till midnight.
Oh, my goodness. But did that help?
I mean,
did you pretty much beat jet lag?
I felt like I did on that end. Now, when I came back, I might have been a little grouchy.
Yeah.
But, yes, I mean, I felt like, I got through that day. I had a few times when I felt a little queasy.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I did pretty well.
So you were there for 4 weeks. Tell mm-hmm. us about what you did. What did the program, do and what'd you do on a regular daily basis and visits and things like that?
We were really focused on education and healthcare were sort of the themes of the trip, but also just connecting with community organizations. Probably one of the things that we did the most in terms of repeatedly was go visit schools. And visit a whole lot of different types of educational institutions and schools, and but also healthcare facilities and social services, things like that, as well as, we get to go visit the fire department and the police department and things like that.
Did you visit any facilities that do services like RALC does here in southern Indiana?
We sure did. Actually, we did some of that as part of our group activities. We did group activities about three of the five, weekdays. And then the other two days or so of the week, we would have vocational days where we would usually individually go and spend time with organizations related to our profession and with people who worked in roles related to our profession. So I did all of those by myself except for one day, because we did have someone on the trip who was from New Hope Services in Clark County, which is a very similar uh-huh. type of organization. So we did one day together, which was really nice. But yes, that's part of the trip, is to be able to grow vocationally and get some insight and ideas related to that.
What were the people like down there?
What? Oh, they're
down
great.
There.
Down under.
Down under. What were they like?
They were really great. I mean, for me, I would say that was probably the highlight of the trip. And, I think of myself as a little bit of an introvert, so I was a little apprehensive about spending time with people constantly and staying in their homes. And, I like my quiet alone time.
Yeah, right.
And, but, the people I stayed with were just incredible, awesome people. And they were all completely different from each other. So each week I had a different host family.
Okay.
And each week I had to adjust to them. But they were all lovely and just, really fun and friendly. And warm people, and a lot like us, really, a lot like Americans, I think.
Did, when you change families weekly, did you change geographic locations as well?
I did. Now, the district we were in, if it's not the smallest Rotary district in Australia, it's darn close, because, we were just basically part of Melbourne and the suburban area of Melbourne up to maybe 50 kilometers away, which, is about 30 miles. So not a real large area.
Did you go to any Rotary meetings when you went?
Oh, heck yeah.
Of course you did, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, and we presented once a week to what they called a cluster meeting. So they would get the Rotary clubs together for that little area, and we would have a group of Rotarians there that we would present for, and we would talk about ourselves and our work and our insights on the trip and that sort of thing.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Tell you, I'm dying to know, how was the food and wine and all of that? It's just, I'm a foodie and I know you are too. Mm-hmm. And tell me about it. How was it?
It's funny, because I think, a lot of people think that Australians drink a lot of beer. Well, I think that at some point they did, and maybe in some areas of Australia they do, but really the area I was in, it was wine country.
Well, they produce a lot of wine, don't they?
They love their wine. And one of the weeks we were actually in a big fruit and vineyards, lots of vineyards there. So they were producing that right there. We got to go to a couple of those. But yes, they really big on their Shiraz and their Pinot Noir would probably be the wines they drank the most. Delicious wine. Great, great food. I'm a vegetarian, so I can't report on what kangaroo tastes like, but I could tell you that the other people in my group could.
What did they say?
I think they would tell you it tastes kind of like deer.
Okay.
And the Australians are really funny about joking that they're the only people who eat their coat of arms, which I got a big kick out of.
Yeah.
But the food, really fresh and delicious. Lots of great fruits and vegetables. Of course, they've got a great climate for that.
Ton of seafood. Do they eat a ton of seafood down there?
Not as much as I would have expected, mm-hmm. probably. But yeah, they definitely did eat quite a bit of seafood. as a vegetarian, I was really impressed by how conscientious they were about dietary restrictions. I mean, mm-hmm. nowhere in the United States that I've ever gone has anybody been so concerned about me getting, you know, the proper food as they were there. And I mean, of course, I was their guest, but they're really focused as a culture and as a society. Like, you know, if you need a gluten free diet, or you need a halal meal or whatever it might be, they really are very conscientious about taking care of that.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. What was the architecture like in the area where you stayed?
That was really surprising. I'm a big fan of historic buildings, and I was surprised by how historic it was. You know, I just hadn't really thought about it, and I've noticed since I've talked to people being back, people have that same impression here that, oh, it's not that historic there. But the area that I was in was, experienced a big boom in the 1850s when they had a gold rush. And so there was a lot of money there at that time, mm-hmm. and they did a lot of building. So it's really actually, you know, a lot of the age of the buildings are pretty similar to what is here in our mm-hmm. local area. A lot of brick, a lot of iron lace on the buildings is what they would call that. But they didn't seem to value it the way I feel like we do here. And, property is at such a premium there in terms of space. They would, you know, in a historic neighborhood, tear down, you know, what I think is a beautiful old home and build this, you know, big modern, you know, ultra modern house there. And I was just really fascinated by that concept.
That's interesting.
But they said, oh, it's so much cheaper to build a new one than it is to fix the old one.
Wow.
And I started to realize that that had to do with their labor costs, which are vastly different than ours. So I think that's probably a big part of it.
How was the climate when you were there?
It was early fall. I don't know if you saw on the Australian Open, they had some brutally hot days over the summer where, you know, it's like on all our news, they were talking about, you know, water bottles were melting on the tennis courts. I think it was the equivalent around 110 Fahrenheit. But when we were there, it was primarily in like the 70s, low 80s. So it was really nice.
Did you have any downtime? Did you have any time where you just a couple days where you got to go somewhere and be alone, or any personal time very much, or were you pretty much always on?
Pretty much always on. Now, we did have one day that was fully ours to do what we wanted, and we arranged a tour of the Great Ocean Road, which is just west of Melbourne along the south side of Australia there on the coast. And just beautiful, really, really strong surf, some pretty sheer cliffs there mm-hmm. from that and rock formations, really beautiful.
Yeah.
And got to go to a rainforest and see koalas in the wild
and things like that
all along the way. So it was really a neat, neat day.
Did you see any animals? I know you were on the search for kangaroo, but did you see any animals that just kind of took you aback?
You know, being in an urban area, we didn't see as much wildlife as I might have hoped. It was really interesting seeing the koalas in the wild just because it's fascinating to see how they truly are just sleeping in the trees.
Yeah.
But other than that, I saw some kangaroo roadkill, and I saw a wallaby for a split second.
Yeah.
And we did see an echidna for 2 split seconds. So, but yeah, I mean, the birds were really interesting. Mm-hmm. A lot of kookaburras and magpies.
Wow.
So, very different song than the birds here. It's, mm-hmm. you know, much, I don't know, less chirpy and more jungly.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's fitting, right? It's their
It
their
does
home
sound like a jungle
here.
Out
yeah.
there.
Is do you think you'll ever go back?
Oh, I would love to, you know, and I'd love to see more of the country. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't realize that Australia is about the same size as the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they can't believe, oh, you only went to Melbourne. And I'm like, well, when you go to New York, you don't go to L.A., do you?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, even to go to Sydney, which isn't all that far, you know, you really need to fly. So I'd love to see more of the country. And also, you know, I think pretty much everybody I stayed with said, oh, come back and stay with me, you know,
yeah.
which is a really cool, you know, option I've got.
Yeah, you bet. Well, mm-hmm. you know, you make friends for life, and social media allows us to maintain and keep those friendships longer than we've ever had the opportunity to do. So that's cool.
True.
All right, so you got back home, and now you're back in the grind and working at Rauch and just doing some really amazing things there.
Really cool stuff going on.
Awesome. So. Well, we'll talk about that at another podcast. We, if somebody wants to find out more about a Rotary exchange trip, how do they do that online?
Boy, you know, I don't know, because it's kind of at a local level.
Okay.
I mean, I would encourage them to connect with their local Rotary Club, because one of the things is that these trips used to be funded in large part by Rotary International. And starting with the trip that I went on, they weren't. They were funded more at the local level. And so it's more of an individual decision by the clubs as to whether or not they're going to even continue to do this.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, I hope they do. It sounds amazing. And
I know
they go all over the world, every
they
continent,
do.
Right?
Yeah.
And if somebody wants to find out information about Rauch and all of the amazing things that you all do, how do they do that?
RAUCHINC.org.
There we go.
And we have, well, I could give them the address for the blog from the trip too. If they
yeah,
want to
please
see that.
Do that. What
so
is that?
It was GSE2014.blogspot.com.
All right. And I'll include that in the description of the video that we do for this and a description of this show. So thank you so much for coming, Teresa. You can follow her. All of her stuff at the blog post that she just talked about, and she really is a great writer. You really feel like you were on the trip with her, and of course, always, always, always support Rauch because they do amazing things in our community, not just Southern Indiana, but Louisville as well. And if you want to follow me on any of the social media sites, all you need to do is look for Lincoln Crumb, because I am there and I am everywhere. So, what a great show. Thanks again, Teresa, for coming. I'm Lincoln, and this has been Locally Grown.